at 807 FM Talk 106.5, and the Bagpipers performing at the 9/11 Remembrance Ceremony going on in Manhattan as the nation remembers 17 years ago the tragedy of the terrorist attacks on our country. Timeline, like I mentioned, Ari Fleischer, a very interesting follow every September 11th as he breaks it down in the chronology of what it was like 17 years ago, what he was doing, what was happening, and tweets that out. So at Ari Fleischer, and said a New York event has already started and is going, of course. Right now, they started the event at the Pentagon about 8 minutes ago, and the President and First Lady will be in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, live at 8:30 this morning. That starts, by the way, as well. Speaking of Twitter, I posted some pictures on my Twitter feed from when I was at the Flight 93 Memorial back in May, some pictures of that that absolutely crushingly moving memorial. You can see those pictures there, and now they've added those chimes to the mix as well there. Check those pictures out on my Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5.
I think one of the most iconic memories of that day is when then President George W. Bush was reading to children. And he was at the Emma E. Booker Elementary School in Sarasota, Florida. And you remember, someone leaned over and told him what happened, and see how his face just dropped. And at the time, of course, no one knew what was going on. And then once you hear the destruction, the terroristic attack that happened on U.S. soil at different landmarks, at different points, it was a ripple effect across America. And at our lowest point is when we came together as one. And we hope that another tragedy of this magnitude does not happen here to make us come together as one nation. You know, it's very sad, and I pray that we never forget the ultimate sacrifice so many made on those planes and in those buildings.
Absolutely. And yeah, on that Ari Fleischer timeline, right now he just posted on the Twitter feed, said 9:05, because of course he's Eastern Time. Chief of Staff Andy Card does something I've never seen before or since. He walked into a live event and interrupted the president, whispering in his ear, a second plane hit the second tower. America is under attack.
It was exactly 17 years and 7 minutes ago that United Airlines Flight 175 flew into the South Tower, and that happened 17 minutes after a plane flew into the North Tower. And just reading Ari Fleischer's timeline here, it brings it back clear as day what was happening on 9/11/2001.
All right, we bring in Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the author of the trilogy, the Mad Jones trilogy, to talk about this and a cornucopia of other subjects this morning. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, y'all.
Yeah, just running through the timeline of that day. I mean, we've done it before. We won't do it this morning. You know, the where you were, how your day played out. But I started thinking about the fact that 17 years since 9/11, which means we've been at war. Because somebody mentioned, we're asking the online opinion poll question this morning, should 9/11 be a federal holiday? Should it be made a federal holiday? And somebody suggested, well, you know, Pearl Harbor and Pearl Harbor Day. You think that that spawns our entry into World War II, but within, you know, years, we were finished with World War II. We're now 17 years into the war against terror.
Yes, we are, and it's an incredibly important war against terrorists, but a little perspective. Yeah, the time is different, but so is the in the other direction. So is the volume.
Sure, I mean, sure. How the war is fought? Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, we do not have an entire nation mobilized and on rationing and working, you know, around the clock, and we don't have to hundreds of thousands of people dying to fight this war. It doesn't mean that it's any less important, but it does mean that for most of us, except for 9/11, we just go about our own business and assume that somebody's taking care of it. And that's not what it was like in World War One or World War Two or even Vietnam. And so, in that sense, be thankful for small blessings, I guess.
All right. Let's bring it back to other subjects here. A couple coming out of Washington, one coming out of the world of sports. Let's start off first with the op-ed from the New York Times. Now, this has been panned by many, and the president as being a gutless coward would do this. Others have celebrated the New York Times and the author of this. You spend a lot of time in the newspaper business. What about publishing an anonymous op-ed? I mean, if you were an editor, would you do that? Would you greenlight that?
It would have to be not extraordinary circumstances, but unusual circumstances, bordering on extraordinary to do it. You've got to be absolutely sure that the person is who they say they are. It has to be somebody important enough that their word carries weight. It has to be something where, to the extent that you can check out the person's claims, they must be checkoutable, to invent a word. So the answer is very rarely, but it's not never. There are times when something like this is acceptable journalistically, ethically. Whether or not the New York Times met all those criteria, we don't know until and unless we know the person and his situation.
Do you think we will? Do you think the name will come out? I mean, Washington's a pretty small town.
I think it will eventually, but it might be a long, long time. I mean, as you said the other day, we didn't know that Mark Felt was Deep Throat for something like 35 years. Like 35 years until we knew who Deep Throat was. I don't think it'll take that long, but we literally might not know until after the Trump administration is over.
I know we've talked about here, Quinn, good morning, on the show, that it could be a couple of people who have contributed to, this op-ed. And I know in an interview last night, Steve Bannon said the same, he could see a number of people kind of chiming in and saying, hey, make sure you include this and make sure you include that. But just the ultimate disrespect that is surrounding this op-ed because, you know, the president and the administration, they don't know who this person or persons are who could be in these confidential meetings and who could take that information and publicize that to the world. Of course, our enemies keep a very close eye on us as a nation.
Yes, they do. I don't buy into the theory that the writer is more than one person, because if the writer is that worried about having his identity discovered, then he's going to want as few people as possible to know about it. There might be a collaborative effort inside the administration to try to keep Trump in line, but I don't think they would collaborate on writing an anonymous thing because, again, it's almost exponential, the growth of the opportunities to be discovered exponentially grow with each person you add to the project. So, as usual, I think Steve Bannon's full of bunk.
Okay.
I have to say, I've never thought in our history that we would ever hear our vice president raise his hand and say that he would take a lie detector test. What? And the press secretary, Sarah Sanders, said, no one's taking lie detector tests here. We are focused on what the American people want to focus on, which is moving forward. But that was just a strange TV.
Well, it was. Then again, there's no way Mike Pence did this. I mean, the downside for him is so much greater than the upside, even if he actually believed what was in Anonymous's story. I guarantee it's not Mike Pence, but the fact that somebody like Pence is even having to be moved to say this shows how bizarre these circumstances are. But then again, it's a pretty bizarre White House.
Yeah, but I would argue this, that if you are a supporter of the president, if you are against the president, if you're somewhere in between, you got to admit that this is an issue, because this is a breakdown in this administration. I mean, you've got to worry about, I'm not saying that you have a mole, but you have a lack of decorum. Maybe that's not even the right word. You have a breakdown in the rules that, that run a White House, that somebody's talking.
It shows that this is again, this is a bizarre White House, and that's not a value judgment. It's just to say that we've never seen a White House operate like this. Certainly, there's been backbiting in other White Houses, but we've never seen anything to this extent. We are in, you know, to borrow a cliche, we are in uncharted waters. And the president could maybe stop this if he would take people's advice and stop tweeting crazy things and stop.
But that also doesn't. But wait. That does not give an excuse for somebody doing this. I mean,
I didn't say it was an excuse, but I'm saying that at some point the president sets the tone and the president's responsible for his administration, and if the administration has so much internal discord, which is obvious that it does. I mean, you know, there are reports every day about this unusual amount of discord and backbiting and all the rest. At some point, the president is not a victim. The president has got to take control, and it would start with controlling himself, because obviously whatever he gets out of these tweets, he is also adding to whoever these people are. He's adding to their worry that he's unstable.
Right. Well, and I'm just going to say there's whatever the president tweets is no excuse for what is happening, you know, with that White House. I would say, once again, in a nonpartisan way, this is just a discussion of the fact that the president wants to investigate it. I don't think the DOJ, I don't think Jeff Sessions should be doing it, but the fact he wants to investigate where this leak came from, where this came from, people are all shocked about it. I would say, y'all think about that. Take out the person in the office if you don't like the president, and just say, hey, this is a situation where I think any, insert president, schwa into that position, they have the right to figure out who is doing this. That I don't think that is uncalled for.
Of course they do, and if somebody and if they find out who is doing it, they should be fired immediately. I'm not saying anything different, but I'm also saying that what anonymous reports on in broad strokes is obviously true, that there is obviously a weird, bizarre set of circumstances within the administration, and so I'm moving away from who did it, who blah blah blah. I'm saying it's time to get control of the administration so this doesn't happen anymore.
All right, let's do this. Quinn, can you hold on over the break here? We've got to run to a news break. Coming right back with Quinn Hillier, because he wants to talk tennis. Well, kind of. Serena Williams was out of line, says now Martina Navratilova and Mary, is it Carrillo?
I'm not sure.
We'll find out. We'll talk some tennis next.
Thanks, Kane. 8:24 now on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. The right hire can really have a huge impact on your business, and you could post to job boards. Hope that you'll find the right employee for your job. But think about it. How often are you checking job boards? Why trust a chance when you can post your job to a place where people go every day to grow professionally and explore new job opportunities? And 70% of the U.S. workforce is already there. I'm talking about LinkedIn. 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting job boards. You can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights from their behavior on LinkedIn, and also rich profile data that you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, their interests, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. Your job gets in front of the right people. It's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn, because it's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. And right now, if you hurry over to linkedin.com/WAVH, you'll get $50 off your first job post right now. That's linkedin.com/WAVH to save $50. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
All right, 825 FM Talk 106.5. Just a quick text from the stack here from Terry says, I feel this anonymous op-ed would have happened under the Obama, if it would have happened under the Obama administration, I believe first, the New York Times would not have run it, and second, they would have outed the traitor. Quinn, there's, do you think that's that formula would be true?
Yes, although traitor is not the right word.
Right, I'm just reading the... Yeah, quote here. Yeah.
It's slightly too strong a word, but yes, I do think that's true. I think the New York Times would have treated it very differently.
All right, I want to get into the question about, I mean, we're talking about tennis here. Why is this a political talker?
Well, because Serena Williams made it into a big issue of sexism and double standards for women, et cetera, et cetera. I am 98% on her side on what happened to her, as far as, you know, two of the three penalties or warnings, etc. Two of the three formal steps that were taken were out of line considering the circumstances, and she was unfairly treated. But then she went too far and tried to make it some big issue of sexism, et cetera, et cetera. No, it was she's gotten away with a lot of stuff back when she was less mature that other people didn't get away with. It's not a question of sexism. It's just a question of a bad umpire who's a snowflake who just couldn't take any sort of negative feedback. But she tried to make it a big political issue, which it's not. It was bad enough that she was very badly mistreated by the ordinary norms of the sport.
Oh, as the woman in the room, I'd like to add a little something here. I think it is a double standard when you think about, if you've been watching tennis long enough, you think about how John McEnroe was celebrated for the antics that he displayed on the clay courts, on the courts, and was allowed back into the games. Even Andre Agassi, known for being a little more mild-tempered, but also celebrated, not fined, not whether it's fines, monetary fines or more. You know, Serena Williams has been in the news. She's been told not to wear certain outfits. So she dealt with that in a classy way and wore a tutu instead of a catsuit. I think that she's pointing out something that has been whispered about for some time, that men and women in sports are treated differently. And it's not just tennis. Perhaps it was taken too far, but you got to give her kudos for how she, from a classy standpoint, told the audience not to boo her opponent, the winner. She encouraged them to focus.
It was magnificent. I mean, I'm as I said, I'm 98% on her side on whether she was mistreated and also how she acted in the post game ceremony. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a huge fan of her for that. I'm just saying that I don't think it's a man woman thing, because tennis has notably tightened its standards and its rules since the McEnroe era. So there's no way McEnroe could get away with that today. No way.
But sports when you play sports, there's so much passion in there. And no, name calling is not appropriate at any level, because, of course, you're on a national stage. However, I mean, no matter what she did 300 matches prior to, that should not play into this specific match. She should be dealt with on an equal playing field as her opponent. And if she's being called out in a way in which that has happened, it's a little lopsided. It's a little lopsided.
I think she was badly mistreated. I just don't think it's a sexist thing, because, again, there's nothing to compare it to in recent history, since they've tightened the rules, tightened the norms, tightened the standards. My point is, she doesn't need to make it a big politicized issue. It's bad enough she was mistreated. She should not have lost a point. She should not have lost a game for that, for the various infractions that she may or may not have made. Calling somebody a thief is not an offense that should have cost her a game. And so I'm totally on her side. I just don't think she needs to politicize it. That's all I'm saying.
There he is, Quentin Hillier. Mm-hmm. Check him out, QuentinHillier.com. Also, somebody wants to pick up a copy or copies with the trilogy of Matt Jones. How do they do it?
At Amazon.com.
All right, very good. Quinn, we appreciate it.
Quinn, thank you for your thoughts. I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you.
I just paused like that because I was just listening, but I love this show. I love it.
We're about having differing opinions.
Yeah, with respect.
And then I'm going to disagree with everybody.
Of course you are.
Yeah, when we come back. 343-0106. 343-0106. Speaking of pot, you see Jimmy Buffett's new investment?
Tell me.
I'll tell you about that when we get back.
Yes.
Y'all stay close. Thanks, Kane. 835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this somber 9/11. And our friends at the Original Oyster House Restaurants will be honoring Mobile and Baldwin County law enforcement, firefighters, paramedics, and sheriff's officers by offering a free Never Forget lunch today at the Gulf Shores or the Causeway location. This goes on from 11 this morning till 4 this afternoon. The 11th annual Never Forget lunch established by the Original Oyster House Restaurants to honor 9/11 first responders who risked their lives to save and protect and serve in recognition of all first responders for their service. In memory of 9/11, Life South Community Blood Center is a 501c3 nonprofit blood supplier. Is going to be on hand at the Causeway location for blood donations. All blood donations collected will be distributed to local hospitals. Local attractions will be on site to honor our first responders. So that is going on today from 11 to 4. So if you have your uniform on, your ID, your first responder, lunch is on the Original Oyster House. Great community partners. Check them out online, originaloysterhouse.com.
Add, using the same hashtag, Never Forget September 11th, the president retweeted this, and it says, President Donald Trump signs a proclamation at his desk in the Oval Office designating Patriot Day 2018 to honor the memories of the nearly 3,000 lives lost on September 11th, 2001, and of every hero who has given their life since that day to protect our safety and our freedom. And I know some of our listeners have heard that before, but I wanted to reiterate, you know, from the highest office, how the president is reminding everyone that those who have been lost will never be forgotten.
And that was part of our online opinion poll. Well, it's our online opinion poll question this morning. There are some out there that have discussed making 9/11 a federal holiday. Do you say yes or no? We'll tally up those votes here in just a second, let you know how you're voting. But that's happening. Online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK on the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com. And also urge you to check out my Twitter feed this morning. I posted up pictures from when I was at the Flight 93 Memorial back in May. More discussion on that coming up in just a little bit. We'll go to the phones and also on the text line. Quite a few things to get into here, so I'm going to run through these quickly. Let's see here. Chester says, how is it sexism when it was two women competing against each other? Let's see. Joe says, first of all, different time, different era. McEnroe, that judge probably wasn't even alive when McEnroe was playing. She got irritated. She would get her butt whipped and of the story, quit making excuses. She should have been the adult in the room.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they were both wrong, Serena and the line judge.
You mean a real situation where there's fault on
Serena? I mean, throughout her career, you can't argue she's the best women's tennis player in the history of the game.
Right.
But she, just like a ton of other tennis players, have thrown fits whenever they're having a poor match, whenever mm-hmm. they're playing poorly. And one of the rules, not at all tournaments, but one of the rules at the U.S. Open is you're not supposed to accept coaching from your box of spectators. There was a crystal clear view of her coach giving her pointers from the stands. The line judge brought that up and warned her for that. That was her initial warning. And she said he was not coaching her. And now, normally the line judge would take a little bit more of a lenient, mm-hmm. But he did only warn her at this time. She said that her coach was not coaching her. The coach immediately after the match said he was coaching her and he was giving her pointers. So that did away with her entire argument on the course. Now, she called him a thief for taking a point from her after she smashed her racket. So during the second game, she smashed her racket and he took a point away from her. Or gave 15 to Naomi Osaka. She was mad at him later in the game, calling him a thief for that. She never used any vulgar words. She was talking directly towards him. She was mad at him. She was you know, being mean, but she wasn't saying anything completely out of line. She just called him a thief for taking the point from her. He called that vulgar abuse. Now, Quinn called him a snowflake, and I got to agree, this is like a 40-something-year-old Portuguese official, and tennis is one of the most bougie. Is that a good name? It's one of the some of these tennis people just think they're mightier than everyone. Yeah. And this guy had, you know, the power of no, and he wanted to put that on Serena. But Serena shouldn't get away with it either for throwing the fit. And also, she was lying. She was receiving pointers, even if it normally isn't that big of a deal.
If he wanted to hear vulgar, he should go back and play the McEnroe stuff.
And that's another revisionist history. Everybody's saying McEnroe got away with things. I pulled up the list of his fines, and he was made fun of back then. Mm-hmm. People said that he was a crybaby on the court. He was taken off of the U.S. Davis Cup team for outrageous behavior. I mean, his fine list is every year he was fined at least once or twice, and McEnroe did not get away with it back then.
Ed Dale says on the text line, McEnroe wasn't getting caught for coaching from the box. There are rules. McEnroe argued in-out calls before video replay. That's not against the rules back then. It's not apples to apples.
Well, I'm sure that McEnroe was penalized heavily, and as sometimes, as we all know, that from a marketing standpoint, that's part of your shtick. You're known as the bad boy. The crowds come. Tickets are purchased. I get that, but I'm just saying that the way that she was penalized does, to me, again, that's why it's my opinion, to me does not equate to the words that were used. I think it could have been dealt in a better way. I agree with Dalton as far as if you are looking at signs which are illegal in a game, you should be penalized for that. But as far as the passion and the emotion on the court, I mean, as a line judge, surely you've heard stronger words than that. You know what I mean? Penalize her for if she was doing what is showing that her coach is showing her these signs, then she should be penalized appropriately.
All right, let's go to the phones. And John is in Mobile first up. Hey, John.
Hey, a couple things. I think with Serena, what you saw was the entitlement mentality. I could give a rip on tennis because when the U.S. Open is playing, that's the start of football. Okay, so I could like get it off. You're in the way. But the only thing that she didn't really say is, don't you know who I am? And I'm just so over it. You know, I saw a post online by a guy, and he just said, you know, Serena's got a really high-pitched voice for a guy that big. But talking about...
What does that mean?
That's despicable.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about what Quinn said about the president. Quinn's been in politics all his life, right?
He's been in the newspaper business, and I mean, a mix, but he has been interested in politics. Since early.
What we have in the White House is a guy who built a multi-billion-dollar business, and nobody seems to talk about this, but he spent 50 or 60 years in a career. And in business, and Sean, I think you know this, if you do not get results on the bottom line, you're a failure. And I think a lot of people that are politically minded, and also people in the media, the reporters especially, they don't have any kind of understanding of what it takes day to day to make a real estate operation go. Like Trump does, and he's just running. He's 71 or 72.
Hello.
I'm still here. He's running the White House like he ran his business.
Well, hopefully, he doesn't bankrupt us then.
Well, I think that his predecessor did a whole hell of a lot to put us in a really bad position.
Well, I'll agree with that too. I mean, I'm in agreement there. Obviously, from fiscal policy. I'm generally happier, yes, with the president we have, for sure. I got to jump because I got a bunch of people that are holding on, but I appreciate the call. Let me go to, let's see here. Well, why didn't that work? Here, what am I doing? Pressing too many buttons. There we go. Frank. Frank is in Mobile. Hey, Frank.
Frank.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the Serena deal. I kind of agree with the guy about what he said about, hey, it's all about me. It's why are you doing it to me, blah, 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 but personally, I stopped watching tennis back in the Connor and McEnroe days because of the way they acted and the way just the way they are. I think any sport ought to be something that our children ought to look up to. This is certainly bad behavior, totally 100%. And, you know, you're forgetting about a girl that, a lady, I guess, Serena, that threatened a 15-year-old girl with her life. I know where you live. I will find you. This all happened last year. So I have no nothing.
Can you? I don't know that. And I don't know that story.
Well,
but the problem is,
she said that about a year ago to a little girl on the side that called it out.
Who said that?
And everybody just looked over it.
Who said that?
So,
well, I remember.
Serena did.
I remember Serena.
Look it up.
I thought it was the line judge, not a little girl, but I do remember her saying she was going to shove a tennis ball down someone's throat.
No, she said, "I know where you live."
Okay.
That's what she said.
I need to look that up.
But
yeah,
anyway,
for sure.
This is all news to me because I'm the biggest tennis idiot ever.
Like this, if you keep with this, forget about the sport, forget about everything. It's nothing our kids supposed to see. Nothing. Breaking a racket, whatever you want to call it. And if you want to call it emotion, fine, call it emotion. But at the end of the day, it's not correct. And there are rules out there everybody's supposed to adhere to. Everyone.
Agreed.
But certain people don't want to do it.
Agreed.
Okay?
There we go, Frank. Appreciate the call. Let's do this. We've got folks holding, but we'll come right back to you. Run to the break. Coming right back. More Mobile Mornings on your phone calls and text at 343-0106. Autumn. Get some opinion on tennis, but I know like nothing. So I can sit. This is actually fun. I can sit back. I'm completely a spectator in this one because I know nothing.
I hope we have no craziness out of the audience. Remember when Monica Seles was stabbed in the back? Remember that?
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Not cool at all.
Right, 850 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday, and we'll keep up with what's going on in the tropics. Isaac, which was the one of the parade of storms that had a little lower angle to it that we thought might have been an issue getting to the Caribbean, maybe the Gulf. Dr. Bill says it is falling apart right now. That's good news. But, of course, not falling apart. Hurricane Florence due in Thursday night, overnight into the Carolina coast, and it is a big one to be sure. Also on this 9/11, we asked the question, with today being 17 years since 9/11, some Americans are asking if September 11th should become a federal holiday. Do you think it should? 89% say yes. 11% say no. Although I see on the text line people saying, hey, good for them. I may have lost this text, but it was like Calvin said, I would be scared if they made it into a federal holiday. It would turn into a day to have a mattress sale and new car sales and people would get drunk. Calvin, you know what? I've said that so many times on our holidays but there's no going back once that beachhead is established.
Well, part of me initially when you posed this question, I said, yeah, it should be a federal holiday because I don't want people to forget how we felt as a country on that day and that unity that we felt and how angry we were that someone would try to come in and murder America, that someone not even, that they came in and murdered Americans the way
they
did. There
you go, say it. That's what happened.
And how angry we were. And I wish we as a country could keep that unity going. But is there a point of time, I do realize you don't want it to become a mattress holiday, a holiday where big sales take place.
Right.
But is it worth it if it means that not just, we'll remember this for the next 10 years, we'll think back to 9/11, but in 25 years,
if it's not
years,
a marked federal holiday, good point.
Will it be a big deal then?
You're saying that even if you get these things that we, and like Calvin was saying, and I agree with Calvin, that we don't like, I go through that, y'all have heard me for a decade on Memorial Day. Number one, in trying to disambiguate for people, the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day drives me berserk.
Yes.
But and this is going to probably get me crosswise. I'm in a business. We run ads and stuff. But Memorial Day sales, you'll never hear me do a live spot for Memorial Day sale, anything like that. I don't do them because to me, it's the most somber of holidays. It's Decoration Day. It's a day we're remembering our war dead. Could it be down the road, hey, it's a crazy 9/11, maybe, but the silver lining would be that it would mark something for generations to come to remember what happened to our country on that day. I think that's a point made.
You would hope that more businesses, instead of trying to have the mattress sales, that they would turn that around and say, you know, veterans in need, this is the day that we open our doors to you, period. That it's not something that's commercialized. But you would hope that. And I hope the schools make sure that that they are having the conversation. Yeah, I know we get into this whole political talk of what's appropriate and what's not, but this is part of our American history, what has happened.
It's appropriate as anything in a history textbook could be.
And I have heard from different schools in different parts of the country that it's something that's not even talked about.
That's
absurd.
That's a shame.
Isn't it a shame? And you think about how many people have been impacted, whether you had someone on that plane or not, whether you're a veteran, whether you are a first responder. America was touched in such a way, and we must not ever forget. But I, like Dalton is saying, to find that common theme of remembrance, but not commercializing something.
And I love commercializing things, but just not certain
that day.
Things.
Yeah.
Right, let's go to the phones at 343-0106. David in Mobile.
Hey, guys. Hey, Kelly.
Hi. Good morning, David.
The only person in this conversation that has any inkling of what it feels like to be Serena Williams growing up an African-American female in this conversation is Kelly. Because...
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
Because the only, growing up in her entire life, she's had the vile names and the vile things that have been said to Serena because of the color of her skin, and that her gender is just disgusting. But she's never used that as an excuse of why she should get special treatment or anything like that. You know, whenever she says, you know, why are you doing this to me? This is not about her. It's just more venting life frustration and what she's had to overcome to become who she is. And with that said, yes, Dalton, you do have a point that the coaching from the box is against the rules and it shouldn't have happened, and she was warned for that. But the destruction of her own personal property and her racket on the court, and then the calling the refs
that's
or the ump.
But that's a rule. That's a rule.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't be rules because it's...
But you can't do that. You can't say there shouldn't be rules. There's a lot of things
thing
we say
is,
shouldn't be, but that's the rule.
It is a rule. It would have normally been a warning if she hadn't already been warned for taking lessons from
the
coach.
I know I clipped him, Coach, but it shouldn't be a rule.
Let me make an analogy that you'll understand. It's also against the rules for NFL football players to argue calls by the referee, the officiating crews on the field. Tom Brady gets away with it all the time because he's Tom Brady. Well, Serena Williams is the Tom Brady of women's tennis. She should be allowed to argue calls because of who she is.
But didn't you just say that she doesn't use who she is to gain an advantage?
But see, when you're Serena Williams or you're Tom Brady,
match point, Dalton.
David, I appreciate you pointing out that yes, I am a black woman. Yes, thank you. And I was an athlete. And I will tell you this: I mean, I'm no different from other families and other people. I know I was raised to understand that while we may look different, so what? That you have to have that same work ethic, and you have to be passionate and give back to the community and make a positive difference. And when you do that, people forget what you look like, forget where you come from, and they just admire the character and integrity of the woman as to who you are. And that's what I stand on, and that's how we raise our children. So I am a hardworking person who happens to be a black woman.
Oh, man. Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. That makes promo. That makes promo from my friend right there. All right. I got to read this text quickly. I know we're about to be out of time, but Heather says this. I want to just make sure this is... Heather says, I'm hearing lots of people talk about Serena being a role model and how our kids don't need to see her act the way she did. I agree, but I think about this. Many people, including myself, felt the same way about subjecting kids to the drag queen readings at the public library. Where are our role models? Our kids are seeing so many adults act like anything other than mature and respectable. And I would argue that in both of those scenarios, they were not compulsory. You had to choose to go to the drag queen story hour. You would have to choose to watch a tennis match. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know the U.S. Open happened. I'm such an idiot when it's tennis.
No, you're not.
Well, if you got a kid that plays tennis and you want to watch tennis with them on the weekend, especially the biggest tournament in the game or one of the top tournaments in the game, and to see the people that you want. I mean, the same exact thing for Tom Brady. If you got a kid that's growing up to play football, you want him to want to win. But some of the ways that Tom Brady acts when he's out there on the field, it's downright disgusting.
Right. And you'll see it's... Here's the... the libertarian conceit where I come from. There's no rule that you're given the right to watch a sporting event where people don't act like they're petulant, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in the Constitution that you will be protected from seeing anything that'll upset you when you turn on your television set.
So says the fan who's watching their living room throwing everything across the room because a call didn't go their way.
Well, that's Alabama football. That's a different thing.
We're passionate. We love it. Play by the rules.
All right. Hour number four next with Laura Ingram.